From the land of Grand Hill University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of November 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's a total farm marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And then Drew Lerner will join us from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. This week, we've talked a great deal about the wheat market and how it's impacting corn in Chicago. And thought it might be worthwhile taking a tour of the wheat-growing regions of the planet. Drew will help us do that in the second half of our program, right here from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, December corn today settled at $5.63. That was 9 cents lower on the day. The March contract at 5.72 1/4, also down 9. And May futures at 5.76 1/2 for the corn, 9 cents lower. December of next year settled 5.46 1/4, down 4 3/4 cents. Soybean futures nearby January at 12.44 1/4, 12 lower. The March at 12.55 1/4, down 11 3/4. And November beans of next year at 12.39 1/4, down 8 3/4. Bean meal futures up $3.60. Bean oil futures off 96 cents for the day. Wheat futures soft red down 10.5 at $7.81. And the hard red at 7.90 3/4, down 7.5 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $131.65, up $1.70. Feeders 220 higher at $159.22 1/2. And lean hogs for 100 pounds, $75.95, up $1.70. Crude oil for the day at $81.06, down $2.86 on the afternoon. Diesel fuel or heating oil 7 3/10 cents lower per gallon at $2.43 3/10 cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline at $2.34 a gallon, even, down 10 9/10 cents. Natural gas up 14 9/10 cents at $5.68 7/10 cents. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average stands now at 35,899. It's down 39 points for the day. The S&P 500 is up 5.25 for the afternoon. Jackie Vakes now joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Todd.
Let's start with our normal support and resistance levels to begin with.
Okay. On corn, we've got December 541 and 596 resistance, March 572 and 634, May 525, 656. Again, these are monthly numbers. Beans, January 1172 and 1290. March 1173 and 1289, and May 1266 and 1375. When we look at December gold, we have 1757 for support, 1793 resistance. Dow Jones, 35,751 support, 39,923 resistance. The U.S. dollar, 92.91 support, 94.56 resistance. Bitcoin, December, 58,444 support, 69,065 for resistance. When we look at managed money, Todd, I thought it might be kind of interesting for people to kind of look at what the records were for these particular situations. And so when you look at corn, managed money long is 498,177, short 344,185. And as of right now, they're long 276 compared to 236 last week. So you can tell they've got a long ways to go either way. On beans, long 260,433, short 171,141. On beans right now, they're currently long 48,000 compared to 42,000 last week. Meal, 132,126 long or negative 53,070. And when we look at meal right now, they're short 26,000 compared to 31,000 last week. On soy oil, the long position, record 125,722, record short 110,846, and we are currently at 87,000 long compared to 81,000 last week. And when you look at Chicago wheat, 66,351 long, 171,269 short. Those are the records. We are currently long 1,000 compared to short 2,000 last week. So If you know, you compare the numbers from last week to this week, you can see that the funds have shifted and added to their long positions, shortened up on their short positions. And so it's been a very interesting time at the markets. Let's just put it that way. Export inspections. Wheat exports are running 15 behind compared to a year ago. They were 14.5% behind last week. Need to average 15.4 million bushels per week. Corn 22% behind compared to 24 last week, need to average 50.6 million bushels a week. And soybeans 37% behind compared to 45% last week, and they need to average 37.2 million bushels to be able to reach the USDA projection.
Yesterday on the trade, the market for corn put in a higher high but closed lower, so it has a reversal down. Not a key, of course, but just a one-day reversal down.
Right.
And then we followed up with lower trade today. What's in the marketplace? What's it thinking about?
Well, I think that when you look at yesterday's reversal, it's primarily because we were trading outside the Bollinger Bands, which is an indication of overbought. We're at 92%, 92.4% right now. And so, you know, you've got to believe that has had an impact. 90% of the time we trade within the Bollinger Bands. Volatility is really high in the corn market, Todd. And so I think all we're seeing right here is a correction in overbought corn market. And when it comes to beans, now that's a little different situation. Beans just are so unsure of their direction. They continue to try and hold their position, you know, above the moving averages, but money flow has been just really flat, and we've seen quite a bit lower volume in that particular market. So until there's something here, maybe that'll take till after next week's report, I expect that market is going to just lumber around and try and figure out what direction it wants to take.
Do we have numbers about next week's report? Are there forecasts yet?
I do have some, yes. And one of the things I didn't mention when it comes to the bean market today, what's really pressured us is that there's rumors that China bought Brazil beans for December delivery. And when we get into the Brazil part, it'll confirm that could be a potential. And on the other side, we've got Indiana beans that are molding in the fields. You know, you and I talked about that last week, how difficult it is to watch a beautiful crop just go down the tubes. But yeah, we saw what used to be Informa, now called IHS Market, come out with their November crop production forecast. They're saying that corn is going to go from 176.5 to 178.7 for a production level, which would pop us up about almost another 200 million bushels of production. Soybeans 51.5, remaining at 51.5. Nothing changed there, basically. And all the rest. Now, Bloomberg just came out with theirs, and it's kind of interesting because there they've got ending stocks actually dropping by 100 million on corn, going up on beans, staying the same possibly on wheat, and harvested acres remaining the same. But the corn yield dropping to 175.9. So that tells you not everybody's in the same camp. Production for them actually drops about 49 million bushels. No change in harvested acres for beans, but they're going up to 52 compared to 51.5, which would mean production would go up about not quite 50 million bushels, and that also has the impact on ending stocks. Now, when we look at Argentina, looks like corn's going to stay the same. Beans probably stay the same. And Brazil's corn, 118, same as last month, 144, same as last month. So it's going to be a quite interesting day next Tuesday when we get into that report to actually figure out what's going on. We did have ethanol report today. Production was just below record high, but the stocks did go up. And they actually saw a five-week high. They're about 2.3% above a year ago, but I don't consider that to be extremely alarming at this point in time because we are ramping up production. So it's not really a big surprise.
The Federal Reserve's meeting this week, has that been playing?
Yeah, some of the wildness that we saw today in the marketplace is related to the two-day Fed meeting. And we have heard that they're going to taper their asset buying by about $15 billion per month. It's currently at $120 billion beginning around mid-November. That would end asset buying by June, okay? And so I guess the widely held opinion is that the Feds really don't want to raise rates until their bond buying is complete. So everybody's going to be watching to see if they can pull that off in light of what inflation has been doing.
You talked a little bit about South America as it relates to next week's USDA World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate. Of course, those are numbers the United States Department of Agriculture puts together, but there are things going on in the ground and on the ground in South America that we need to watch as well, related to those USDA reports, I suppose. What do we hear from nations in that continent?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I normally start with Brazil, Todd, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about Argentina today, because Argentina looks as if it's going to plant the lowest soybean hectares in 15 years. And why is that? Brazil continues to expand their bean hectares, but we're not seeing the same thing in Argentina. And basically, they have an export tax of 33% on soybeans and 31% on meal and oil. So therefore, soybeans right out the gate are a lot less profitable than corn, which only has an export tax of 12%. So they've had poor results, when it comes to raising beans. And so with the lower margins, they're likely to tip toward corn, which makes sense. And we're looking at weather down there, Todd, that looks like it could be pretty tough. And soybean yields have been less than stable when it comes to a comparison to corn in really tough weather. So, we just haven't seen yields increase compared to corn. And, that's the same thing we see here in the U.S. There's no question about it. They have very weak seed laws down there, which we're lucky we don't have, because it allows the farmers to replant their seeds. And they cannot do that with hybrid corn. So that's another reason that we see. And there's so much political uncertainty down there. They just don't know what the government might do next. And it's kind of interesting, because the president of the Argentine Soybean Association said, interference has killed the golden goose, which in Argentina was beans. And so it's been a total flip since the new government came in down in Argentina. And so that'll reduce world supplies eventually, and that'll come into the market at some point in time. Now, when we look at Brazil, 19.3% of Mato Grosso's corn production now is being used in ethanol, which I think is amazing. The Mato Grosso represents 85% of Brazil's corn ethanol production. And, I mean, that's huge when you think of the fact that the first facility didn't open until 2017. So it's just wild. In Mato Grosso, corn ethanol production was up 41% compared to a year ago. And to go back to where we talked about China buying from Brazil beans, they are saying that soybean planting pace means that they'll probably be ready to start harvesting by the end of December. And Dr. Cordonier actually said he wouldn't be surprised if they were harvesting in Mato Grosso during the week of Christmas already. So therefore, it's expected that they're going to start to ship out earlier than they did last year. And, we talked last week, Todd, about fertilizer. And AMIA, which is one of their reporting services down there, said that they believe that, there's no problem as far as fertilizer goes when it comes to the bean crop. They expect 100% to be delivered before everything's complete. It'll be great. But for Safrinha corn, again, like we talked last week, going to be tough. They believe that only 40% of the fertilizer needed has been purchased. And so therefore, that's a bad situation for them. They plant in January and February. So it's going to be an interesting run here. And I don't have a lot on China today, other than they're urging their families to stock up on basic essentials due to COVID lockdowns. And one case of COVID locked down the Shanghai Disneyland. They said they were going to crack down, but boy, they're really cracking down, and they've closed some schools too at the same time. So they still continue to buy beans. We just keep on waiting for them to buy more corn.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. You have a great one.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing. She is in Hollister, Missouri. It's a Wednesday. We always check in with Drew Lerner to see what the weather forecast is for the United States and the growing regions across the planet. Hi, Drew. Thanks for being with us. Will farmers in the Corn Belt get a better opportunity to finish up harvest in the next 10 days?
Yes and no. They've definitely got a good opportunity for multiple days of good drying conditions between now and, let's say, Tuesday of next week. But after that, it's not so good. So the best advice is that we would be aggressive if we can. I know there's a lot of fields out there that are still a little on the wet side from last week, and it really hasn't been very warm since all that rain fell. And so it's kind of a slow process trying to get the ground to firm up. So I would think that some of those areas will still have a couple of days of drying ahead before they can get into the fields. So we should get a few days of aggressive field work for them. And then the weather will turn sour again during the middle to latter part of next week as another large storm system impacts the Midwest and more cool air comes back as well. It will heat up, though, a little bit this weekend into early next week, so there is some good news there.
Yeah, I did see that. I think mid-60s for my part of the world. It's been cool here. It's cool today, in fact, but a lot of sunshine today. And low temperatures overnight have been low across, I think, a large part of the Midwest as well. Was that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And certainly we saw frost more widespread this morning than it has. The good news is that even though it's cold, we had a lot of clear skies. The air is drier than it has been. So that will help to induce a little bit better drying conditions once we do start to warm back up.
Let's stay with field crops, corn and soybeans. They're going into the ground or already in the ground, one of the two, in parts of South America. What do you think of growing conditions for those crops?
Wow, it really looks good across a big part of Brazil. And even Argentina has improved quite a bit here in this past week. It's not ideal, but we're way ahead of where we were last year at this time. And the areas of dryness in Brazil are very few and far between. We still have some dryness in the northeast, but to be honest with you, northeastern Brazil doesn't usually get good rains until we get into the heart of November. And here we are already moistening up the ground in a big part of that area up there. So some of the soybeans in northeastern production areas are likely to get into the ground quicker than usual. The same would be true maybe for cotton up there if you have an interest in that. But the center-south part of Brazil is getting a good mix of rain and sunshine, and that should continue right on into mid-month. And in Argentina, I think that we will also have some timeliness and precipitation. Argentina's rain amounts, though, are going to be more varied. We'll see good amounts in the north, but central and some southern areas probably see less than usual rainfall at times. So there'll still be a bit of concern there. But like I said, we're in much better shape than we were a year ago.
Because wheat has been leading the commodity markets to some extent as of recent, I'd like to check in on that crop across the planet. We'll start in the southern hemisphere, particularly with Argentina, and maybe drop into Australia as well for me.
Yeah, Argentina for quite a few weeks there was quite dry in the west and northern parts of wheat country. And the crop was not doing very well in those areas. While it was raining in Buenos Aires and parts of Entre Rios, which represents a big part of their winter crop, in the past week to maybe 8 or 9 days, we have seen a couple of good rain events occur in the previous drier areas. And it may be occurring quick enough to support that crop while still reproducing and filling in some areas. Now, some of the northern crop has already finished out, and they're actually getting into the fields to harvest some of that. But the bulk of the wheat crop is still reproducing and filling, and the rains that have occurred this past week have been very supportive. So we will see a favorable crop come out. It certainly hasn't been ideal. I do think that the outlook down the road should still be favorable for most of Argentina's crop.
And in Australia?
Australia's wheat is just about ideal. Last year was a record crop, and the last I heard, they're trying to make this crop a number two runner here. It hasn't been quite as perfect as last year, but it's still a very large crop. And not just wheat, but also the barley crop and even canola there. And as long as the weather is cooperative for the next 4 weeks, they should be able to pull that crop off and keep every bit of the yield. But there is a tendency for November and December both to be wetter biased in these years where aggressive La Nina events take place. And so we are seeing in the forecast model data a boost in rainfall being advertised as we go forward through these next 2 weeks. And my concern is that we might just get a little too much moisture in some of the production areas. Kind of hard to say who's going to get it and how bad it might be, but it's perfect for right now, but they could run into some quality problems when it gets to be the heart of the harvest for the portions of New South Wales and Victoria in particular.
And I have a big ask at the end as it relates to wheat. Cover the Northern Hemisphere. It's grown just a little bit of everywhere, but maybe work your way through your Asia to the west back to the plain states here in the United States.
Yeah, and I'll even throw in, we'll look at China here real quick. China has had a good amount of moisture this autumn. Too much moisture in the sense of harvesting summer crops and getting the initial winter wheat crop to go into the ground across some of that production area. But the weather has got a lot better here in the last couple of weeks, and we're going to see it continuing to improve. China should be able to put a good amount of crop in the ground and have it well established. In a big part of India, we're also just now getting started with some of the planting of wheat, and the moisture profile is ideal for that, and they should be able to get a good chunk of that crop planted fairly quickly now, and it should take off relatively well. In Russia, we still have some issues with low soil moisture in a part of the Volga Basin. It's one of their primary winter crop production areas, but I think there was enough moisture when they were planting to get that crop started. And relatively okay on establishment. It's not going to be the best established crop that they've ever seen, but as long as they get some snow on the ground during the colder days, it'll probably be okay. But we'll watch that area a little bit more than we will other areas in the world. And in Europe, the weather's really been ideal there as well over the past couple of weeks. Very nice drying conditions, some light showers periodically. The mix has been ideal. Planting of winter crops should have advanced very well, and early development should be good as well.
And in the United States?
Yeah, in the U.S., some concern about the High Plains region. That includes Montana, as well as eastern Colorado and some of the westernmost counties in Kansas down into the Texas Panhandle. These areas still have a very low moisture profile, and it's not looking real promising that they're going to get a lot of moisture in the ground. It's already getting quite cold in Montana, so some of that crop may not get up and get established very well. So that'll be the first concern. In the heart of hard red winter wheat country, though, conditions have been very good, and I think the crop is off to a good start. We'll probably hang in there fairly well, but those areas in the High Plains region will need to be closely monitored. La Nina years do not favor that area for precipitation, so there's a good chance that they'll continue to be dry into spring. And, of course, the soft wheat in the Midwest is slowly getting into the ground, getting established. We've had a lot of rain here recently that's kind of interrupted both the harvest, the summer crops, and the planting of winter grain. So not the best environment there either, but we'll get it done.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. That is Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.